This is Amplify Women on X-Ray FM. I'm your host, Katrina Nguyen. In celebration of International Women's Day, we are hosting 12 hours of programming amplifying women's voices and providing education on a diverse range of issues impacting women in Portland and beyond. Throughout the day, you'll be hearing from community leaders, educators, activists, and artists as they tell their stories to educate, empower, and inspire change. Today, I'm here with Catherine Cleland, and she's going to tell us about the Driving the Vote for Equality tour. Why don't you start with telling us a little bit about who you are and how you got involved with this tour?
Katrina, thank you so much for this opportunity. I am a volunteer with the National Equal Rights Amendment Coalition on behalf of my organization, which are the Zonta Clubs of the United States. What we are doing is working a team of folks across the United States to put pressure on Congress and educate voters about the stalled Equal Rights Amendment. So Driving the Vote for Equality was inspired by a book that was written last year called Driving the Vote for Women, which covered the epic trip of two suffragists in 1916 who took a tiny Saxon motor car and drove from New York City to Phoenix, Arizona, and then up to the north and back to New York City across the northern half of the United States. They drove 10,700 miles to advocate for the vote for women and women's suffrage and made a difference at every stop. And we are replicating that tour this year in 2026 to talk about the unfinished mission of constitutional equality and the fact that the Equal Rights Amendment has not yet been recognized as the 28th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution.
Okay, so tell me about, so what, I think I heard that you guys actually have an old style car, is that right?
That's what's so exciting about this tour, is we have been working on educating voters and activating folks who care about equality across the U.S. for 3 years. But this tour, as an embodiment of an actual 1916 car that has been restored to working condition, and it is the exact same car that was used by the suffragists in 1916, and it's going to go almost the same route. So it's going to take over 30 days for this car to go from New York City, which is where it started today, to Phoenix, Arizona on April 3rd, with stops in every town along the way, because you can imagine a 1916 historic car isn't a particularly fast moving vehicle, but it's pretty exciting because there is an opportunity for a conversation at every stop with the citizens of the United States about equality for women and how long we've had this unfinished business in front of us.
Wow, that's unbelievable. I didn't know that you have the actual car that the women took. Yeah, that's
it's
really
the
cool.
Actual car. So the writer of the book, Gerald Shriver, actually purchased and restored the car, and it was delivered, it was repainted, refinished, engine tuned up, and it was delivered today to the tour in New York City in Central Park, and went to the Historic Society there, and is now moving south towards Washington, D.C., with I think three stops between New York and Washington, D.C.
Wow, that's amazing. So are you collaborating with historical or museums across the country?
Yes.
Or?
Yes, each stop is unique. We are collaborating with women's organizations and women's groups who are all part of the ERA Coalition. So if you go to the eracoalition.org website, you will see that there are over 300 partner organizations working on the recognition of the Equal Rights Amendment as the 28th Amendment. So in each town, we have a different lead organization. So in New York City, it might be the New York City chapter of NOW, the National Organization for Women. And in another city, it might be the League of Women Voters. In another city, it might be the American Association of University Women, AAUW. And in another city, it might be at the local Zonta Club. And they are in each city tailoring the visit to the particular history and opportunity. One of the programs that's part of the Sign for ERA program with ERA Now is Mayors for ERA. And we've been working to get mayors across the United States to sign the petition and advocate for the Equal Rights Amendment from the very local level. And so we are going to city halls in many of the towns. We are going to universities to speak to young feminists. We are going to historical museums. We actually have a lot of stops in bookstores because we're tying it into the publication of the book, Driving the Vote for Women. And so each stop looks a little bit different and is being carefully crafted to hit as many of these different themes of the work that's being done around grassroots support for the Equal Rights Amendment.
Wow, that sounds really exciting. And sounds like a lot of thought has been put into it. And is there some way to, I mean, do you have a schedule that people can follow?
We have a website that is going up today that we invite people to follow the tour stop by stop. And it's called drivingthevote.org. Drivingthevote.org, all one word. And it will take any follower through the journey of our little motor car and all of our different stops. And it also has the history of the car, information about the Saxon automobile, information about the original tour, plus links and information about the Equal Rights Amendment, because a big part of what we're trying to do here is education. There is a whole generation of individuals who are not aware that equal rights is not guaranteed in the Constitution. If we look at polling from 2021, we found that 80% of Americans already thought that the Equal Rights Amendment was in the Constitution and are surprised to hear that those rights are not guaranteed. And so a lot of what we're trying to do at all of these stops is to educate folks about the missing rights that women don't have and this unfinished business of the Equal Rights Amendment, and that it's been more than 100 years, just as this car is more than 100 years old.
Thank you so much. I am really grateful for the work you're doing. You know, it was only about 3 years ago that I learned about the Equal Rights Amendment. And as soon as I learned about it, I've been doing what I can to, you know, get involved and educate people. But it's really sad when the media isn't even really talking about it. People are like, this can't be real. You know, women have equal rights. So it's hard, but I'm grateful that you're doing this. And all the activists are getting creative. So
that's why we're doing it at such a local level, is we find that the national media does not pick up what they consider to be women's news, despite the fact that constitutional equality should be of a concern to everyone. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg made those arguments beautifully. You'll find those on our website. And we invite you and everyone to follow us on social media. Our handle across all social media is @sign4ERA. So sign, S-I-G-N, number 4, E-R-A. And we have educational information. We have the tour. Each stop of the tour will be on our social media, as well as we have a petition that you can sign online that's available. So if you want to speak up and message your congressperson that you're asking them to support recognizing the Equal Rights Amendment, that's an opportunity there too through our social media.
Amazing. Well, thank you so, so much for your time today. I really enjoyed hearing about this tour, and I'll be following it as well. Do you have any closing words before we stop recording?
I will let you know. We're hoping to get a second half of the tour. So the first half of the tour is New York to Phoenix through the Deep South. So it's going down the East Coast to Georgia and then across through Texas to Arizona. But we're hoping to have a second half of the tour that will start in San Diego, come up I-5, the West Coast, through Portland,
oh, nice,
on up in Seattle, which is where I'm from, and then go back across the Midwest into upstate New York and back to New York City. So we will let you know if we get dates for Portland for your listeners more locally, and follow our tour and watch where we go and the adventures that we have with this historic car, hearkening back to this unfinished business about women's equality.
Thank you so much, Catherine.
You're listening to X-Ray FM on KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 in Portland and 91.7 FM in Nehalem, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach. Streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. This is Amplify Women on X-Ray FM. I'm your host, Janelle Bechtold. In celebration of International Women's Day, we are hosting 12 hours of programming, amplifying women's voices, and providing education on a diverse range of issues impacting women in Portland and beyond. Throughout the day, you'll be hearing from community leaders, educators, activists, and artists as they tell their stories to educate, empower, and inspire change. Welcome to Stories Behind the Cue with the Screen Composers Guild of Canada. Today, we are inviting some of Canada's top screen composers to share about the process, production, and collaboration behind the music for some of our favorite films, television shows, and video games. The Screen Composers Guild of Canada is a national trade organization that promotes the music and status of film, television, and media composers in Canada. Through advocacy, professional development, and building community, the Screen Composers Guild represents over 400 professional composers in Canada, and we have members in other countries as well. In 2018, the Guild released one of the first research studies on how gender affects the career trajectory of composers in Canada, specifically looking at everything from rate of pay, hiring practices, employment models, and how differences change across the careers of men and women. Since that study was released and industry conversations began to include more women, we've seen more composers just thriving. I'm really excited to introduce some great composers and be able to share their music with you today. Our first guest is Amanda Colley, based in Kelowna, BC. Recent work includes the documentary series Dead Man's Curse, animation series Fireman Sam, season 16, and the video game Potion Problem. Amanda is also award-winning. She received two Canadian Screen Music Awards in animation and for games and interactive media. And she was also recognized by the SOCAN Foundation recently as the grand prize winner of the Emerging Screen Composer Awards. Amanda is here today to talk with us about Charlie is Not a Boy.
Hi, my name is Amanda Colley, and I'm the composer for Charlie is Not a Boy. This was a really interesting short film to score. It's a fantasy film and the directorial debut of Paul Couric. It's an amazingly colorful film and a very unique style, and there was no dialogue throughout the film other than a one-minute narration off of the top. So music played a very heavy lifting role in storytelling through the film. And because of that, I worked very, very closely with the director, Paul, and we had a lot of collaboration, many, many discussions and experimentation in how big of a role music could play in this film and how it could help guide the audience to interpret the story. Because there was no dialogue in the film and music was our primary audio experience, it was really important to me that the score be as authentic as possible and elevate the film and also match the high level of execution that the visuals were at. I was very fortunate to bring on orchestrator Chris LaRosa and mixing engineer Andrew Dixon to the music team. All of the elements of the score are live musicians. I worked with the Budapest Scoring Orchestra to record all the orchestral elements and a local choir, Kandeska Choir, to record the choral arrangements.
Thank you.
It was truly an honor to be the composer for this project. It was such a collaborative effort and a real privilege to be a part of a team that allowed everyone's unique voice to shine through. I believe there's nothing greater than collaboration, and art really reaches a new level of potential when we all put our heads together. And that's why I'm so grateful to be in this industry and composing for visual media. Thanks for listening.
Been listening to music from Charlie is Not a Boy by Amanda Colley on Stories Behind the Cue. Our next guest is joining us from Ottawa, Ontario. Laura Bidner is an acclaimed Emmy-nominated composer. She has received 4 SOCAN Foundation Awards and has been nominated twice for the Canadian Screen Awards and 5 times for the Canadian Screen Music Awards. You'll recognize her music from the series Ruby in the Well for Family Channel and BYU TV, the main theme for the BBC and Family Channel series Mallory Towers, and feature thriller Terror Comes Knocking for Lifetime A&E. Laura is known for writing evocative melodies and experimental vocal textures, and you'll get a sample of this today as Laura shares Put an End to Him from the film Welcome.
I decided to write a dirge for this final death scene. I wanted to give it a feeling of finality, peace, mourning. And the way I did that was by using a bass drone, and then over that soft yet dark, haunting cello harmony and melody. And then 4 layers of interweaving vocals that I automated through different rates of delay, choppers, and they're in a big abyss-like reverb. The cello is in a cathedral, but the vocals are kind of in this otherworldly atmosphere, so we get that feeling of crossing over.
Thank you.
Now for something completely different. Here's the theme from the series Hogtown by Laura Bidner. Been listening to music by Laura Bidner on Stories Behind the Cue. The role of a screen composer is to write music for a specific cinematic purpose, and as you can tell by hearing from our guests, there are different ways to approach a film. Music can be used in all sorts of ways. For example, it can be used to establish the setting, such as a time period or place. It can be used to transition from one scene into another, especially enhancing the illusion of passing of time or a change in the setting. Music can also tell us something about the characters, such as, are they evil? What sort of things do they like? Do we want the audience to cheer for them in the story? Music can also be used to help move the action forward, add interest, or increase suspense. And of course, it can guide the audience through the story and affect the way they feel about what's happening on screen. As a composer, I take a lot of inspiration from visual elements, such as the texture of the film, drawing style and animation, the pace of the edits, the color palette, and of course, discussions with the director on story, characters' motivations, and the experience they want the audience to move through while watching. It's about the collaboration and finding those unique moments where music can carry the story forward, amplify, or reveal something not present on screen. I'll share a great example of this from my own catalog. This was a piece of music from the series Yearbook, and you'll hear really distinctively that this piece takes place in a department store in 1960. But halfway through the piece of music, you'll hear a shift. So there's this young girl who's in the department store, and then she realizes that the department store security is following her around, and it's making her really uncomfortable. And so you'll feel that shift in this piece of music. So this is the department store from the series Yearbook. Have been listening to the piece Department Store from the TV series Yearbook by Janelle Bechtold. For those of you just tuning in, my name is Janelle Bechtold, and I'm here with the Screen Composers Guild of Canada presenting Stories Behind the Cue as part of X-Ray's annual Amplify Women Teach-In. Our next guest is a composer and saxophonist from Halifax, Nova Scotia. Ali Fiola received her Master's in Film Composition from Kingston University in London, UK, and was part of the Canadian Academy's prestigious program Women in Post. Ali is a member of the board for the Screen Composers Guild of Canada and a very active jazz performer. Today, Ali will be sharing with us some music from the film Guard, which will be premiering this fall.
Hey there, I'm Ali Fiola, a composer and saxophonist based out of Halifax, Nova Scotia. I recently scored a beautifully shot local film by Tim Bombouquet called Guard. Guard illustrates the day-to-day challenges that lifeguards face. More specifically, this film follows a young lifeguard who comes face-to-face with triggers of a past drowning that happened on her watch and how she deals with that in the moment. So the entire time throughout the film, I'm scoring from the perspective of that lifeguard and the feelings that she's having. I've chosen two cues in particular. The first one, called Flashback Panic, is the climax of the film. This is when the lifeguard discovers a pair of goggles laying on the pool deck. And this triggers a flashback to when she experienced a drowning on her watch. And so the cue starts with building that anxiety and explodes into the full-blown panic attack. And so when I was scoring the film, this is actually where I started. I knew exactly what I wanted to get out of this scene. And I took the extra challenge of just composing within the framework of only using saxophones and piano. And so I started with the soprano sax and the arpeggios that you hear. And I built the rest of the cue around that. And what I wanted to get out of this particular scene was just a wall of sound. Having experienced feelings of anxiety myself, I had an idea of what to tap into to try to evoke that feeling and try to convey what the character was experiencing in that moment. So along with the arpeggios that you hear sitting on top, I have the Barry sax just kind of blasting through these low notes holding the bottom. And in between, building the harmonies, I have the other saxophones. And hidden in between those layers, I do a little bit of extended techniques. These are the squawkings, the funny little chattering that you might hear. And these are all kind of done through the overtone series on the saxophone. And the reason why I chose these sounds is because to me, they're unpredictable and primal. And I really feel like they can tap into that sense of unease. Cue that I am sharing is called Floating. And this one, although based around the same concept as Flashback Panic, built upon those arpeggios, I wanted to bring back that familiar song structure. But at this point in the film, this is the end, it's a very different feeling. And so I hope that I've conveyed that different emotion. She's no longer panicking. There's still that baseline of unknown, that fear, but there's also the hope that things will be better.
Been listening to music from the film Guard by Ali Fiola on Stories Behind the Cue. Our next guest is Steph Copeland, who began her music journey as a singer-songwriter and electronic artist in Windsor and Detroit, performing on both sides of the border. Her original songs have seen placements in series such as Tiny Pretty Things, Snowpiercer, LA's Finest, Mysticons, and the Unicorn Academy. But Steph is most well-known as an award-winning screen composer specializing in thriller, horror, drama, and genre film scores. From 2022 to 2024, she took home 6 Canadian Screen Music Awards, including Best Score for a Narrative Feature Film for The Retreat and Outpost, and the Best Score for a Television Special for MTV's Binge to Death and Lethal Love. In 2024, she earned 2 Canadian Screen Award nominations for Original Song and Achievement in Music. Here is Steph Copeland talking about music to the feature film Révélation.
This is the opening cue from a Slovakian film that I scored in 2023 called Révélation, and I was very fortunate to be able to work with the Slavic Radio Symphony Orchestra for the score. The film is a political family drama following the Varchal family on New Year's Eve when they have their Révélation, their festive dinner that is late night and fatty and rich with champagne. And they find out that maybe their father, the patriarch of the family, was a spy for the secret police, the STB, during Soviet control of Czechoslovakia. The film is actually a little bit lighter in tone than your typical political drama because it centers around this very charming family grappling with an issue that arose after the separation of the two countries, Slovakia and the Czech Republic. Citizens that spied on their neighbors for the STB, many were never brought to justice. The patriarch of the family is confronted by his son with evidence in a file with photographs and letters that he was spying for the STB. Unable to find his words, suffers a heart attack and ends up in the hospital. And in the hospital, he's treated by a doctor who shares his story of his own father resisting the influence of the STB and paying with his life. Distraught with grief after learning that his family found out about the file, and after hearing the young doctor's story about his own father, he decides to apologize to the doctor and attempts to atone for his weakness and decision in not standing up to the secret police. Ultimately, we find out that Mr. Varchal did spy for the STB, but in his reports, we learn of his resistance. The reports were filled with the activities his family did that day, a recipe that his wife made, family trips that they went on, friends that they visited with, a time that they brought their sick child to the hospital and it scared him to death. Eventually, the STB declared that Mr. Varhal's reports held nothing of any real value and that they were essentially useless. This was my very first time working with the full orchestra conducted by Anton Popovic, and I had the pleasure of actually going to Bratislava to record the score.
You have been listening to music by Steph Copeland on Stories Behind the Cue. I'm often asked how music for games and VR experience is different from writing for a traditional television show or film. And my approach for music for interactive media is quite similar to what I would call linear storytelling in films, except that the technology dictates how the music and story comes together. So some of the questions that I might ask myself is, will the music need to loop and provide a constant mood while it plays, or will it transition to another mood? Will the new layers allow the track to grow or shift in the tension as the story unfolds? And do you need to guide the player in a specific direction using audio? One thing I like to do as a composer is to look at the video game's environment and try and find little sonic elements that I can pull from in terms of trying to make the music really unique to that story. And in one of the latest projects that I'm working on, it's a video game called First Moon of Mercury by Stitch Media and Games by Stitch. And it's set in space in this high-tech environment. And so one of the things I've been doing is trying to draw on sounds that you would find in that environment. So you might have sonar, you might have little bleeps and bloops of the computer systems and the consoles, and I've combined those into a percussive element. The game also has a lot of really high stakes for the player in terms of saving the whole world. So we really like the idea of using voice and adding that to the music as a way of to sort of insert the humanity into this very futuristic high-tech space station. So here is a piece of music from First Moon of Mercury, composed by Janelle Bechtold. For those just tuning in, we're here with X-Ray's annual Amplify Women Teach-In. My name is Janelle Bechtold, and I'm here with the Screen Composers Guild of Canada sharing Stories Behind the Cue, which is music for film, television, and video games. The Screen Composers Guild often collaborates with other organizations, and one collaboration which has been particularly welcomed is the Alliance for Women Film Composers. What started as a brief series of conversations to address the incredible disparity in Hollywood has grown into a global community with over 1,300 members. The Alliance for Women Film Composers strives to change the landscape of equity in music for visual media by raising visibility and creating opportunity for women and gender-diverse composers. When I talk about the disparity in Hollywood, the number of women composers being hired to score the top 100 films rose from a meager 3% in 2021 to just 8% in 2025. Of course, there is much to celebrate, but also a lot more work to be done. I would love to take a moment to share a piece of music by Leslie Barber. Leslie is based out of both Toronto and Los Angeles. She sits on the board of governors of the music branch of the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences, which is the organization behind the Oscars, and is known for scoring major award-winning feature films such as You Can Count on Me, Mansfield Park, Late Night with Mindy Kaling and Emma Thompson, and the documentary Diane Warren, Restless. She's also a very active advocate for women composers and active in the Alliance for Women Film Composers. This is music from the Oscar-nominated film Manchester by the Sea. Been listening to music from the Oscar-nominated film Manchester by the Sea, scored by Leslie Barber. Our next guest sits on the board of directors for the Alliance for Women Film Composers and the Screen Composers Guild of Canada. Alex Pitskowski originally hails from Toronto, Canada. She's a composer, artist, music producer, songwriter, and overall storyteller for the screen. She's coined her genre cinematronic and loves to genre bend and blend. She's been called haunting by Rolling Stone, but more importantly, a work in progress by her therapist. Here's Alex talking about Klinga, Treasure of the Rice Terraces.
Thank you. Hi there. This is Alex Petkovsky, Alexandra, if you want to get really fancy, otherwise known as Fiora, composer, artist, and music storyteller for the screen. Thank you so much for listening. You just heard one of the opening cues from the feature documentary called Treasure of the Rice Terraces, a documentary by Filipino-Canadian filmmaker Kent Donguin, exploring the revival of traditional Kalinga tattooing in the Philippines. And Kent travels to Buscalan to learn from 107-year-old master artist Apawang Od, exploring the art form's journey from a suppressed, stigmatized practice to a symbol of pride. And it was a quite special score to be a part of. It's a great privilege to be able to work with friends in these types of spaces in general. And so that was in part why this score was so meaningful to me, as I got to co-compose it with a really good friend of mine, Kalisa and Kelly Chelvin. And we explored textural sonic palettes, genre bending and blending in the form of contemporary fusion beats with traditional Filipino instrumentation. And, you know, as you can tell in that specific cue, which actually leads up to the main title sequence in the film, there's a increasing of speed that happens across the gamut. And that was particularly fun to craft. This film itself is actually, shameless plug, up for your consideration for the Canadian Screen Awards 2026, as is the score for Best Original Score for a Feature Documentary. So deviating a bit here, this next piece of music was a custom bespoke end credits song that involves elements of the score themes interwoven throughout, that I got to produce, sing on, write, make for Happily Undead After, a pilot about a vampire and her girlfriend conquering love. This was created by Rebecca Grenier and it was directed by Erica Orofino. And this just kind of showcases, I love to be able to craft custom songs for, you know, film projects when and where I can. So just being able to take the score motifs and culminate them like this was just so wicked fun for me. And it was a blast. Love it.
Listening to music by Alex Petkovsky on Stories Behind the Cue. I'm pleased to present our next guest, Diane Ballesteros. Diane is a Canadian film and television media composer based in Toronto, Ontario. SOCAN Foundation Award recipient, she composed multiple projects, including dramatic narratives and documentary films. Some of her projects include Me and Her, Ahan, Scraps, Becoming the Butterfly, Sorry It's Not a Girl. She even contributed additional music on the feature film Call Me Crazy, which is streaming on Amazon Prime, and Lady Parts. Diane was a participant in the SOCAN Foundation's Screen Music Lab and a recent participant in the Women in Post program presented by Netflix through the Academy of Canadian Cinema and Television.
Hi, my name is Diane Ballesteros from Ontario, Canada, and I'm excited to share my piece with you all called Ahon, a cue from the documentary short film Ahon Rise. This film highlights the story of a Filipino-Canadian mountaineering group formed in Alberta, sharing their immigrant experience and finding joy in mountaineering as a way to build community and family in their new home in Canada. This cue combines Western and traditional Filipino instruments with the intention to sonically bridge the two cultures together. The scene starts off with the group planning their route and then making their first attempt to summit House Peak. So with this cue, I wanted to provide a sense of confidence at the start of the music while they plan. And it begins with a slow, minimal, sustaining strings, and the piano acts like a step of certainty. Ultimately, they attempted this route and didn't succeed due to the weather conditions and had to return to ground. So in this music, there's a lingering sense of disappointment and sadness for not succeeding the summit. I slowly introduced Filipino instruments like the bamboo flute and percussion to act like a call of home. Lessons were learned from the first route, so they took these lessons to change paths and plan their second attempt to House Peak. This time, they use their Filipino values and the mantras of resilience, and this is where they gain more confidence and hope to get to the mountaintop the next time around, which required them to take a longer path. So in the music, we get this sonic build of regaining confidence, and finally, we land on a hopeful and inspired note as they get ready to attempt the summit again.
Listening to Ahan by Diane Ballesteros. For those of you just tuning in, my name is Janelle Bechtold, and I'm here with the Screen Composers Guild of Canada presenting Stories Behind the Cue as part of X-Ray's annual Amplify Women Teach-In. You're listening to Music from Marlene by Janelle Bechtold. On behalf of the Screen Composers Guild of Canada, I'd love to thank you for spending time with us today. A shout out to our composers who provided music today, Amanda Colley, Laura Bidner, Diane Ballesteros, Ahali Fiola, Steph Copeland, Alex Pekowski, and Leslie Barber. To find out more information of the Screen Composers Guild of Canada, our members, and to read the research study that I mentioned, please visit screencomposers.ca. You've been listening to Stories Behind the Cue with the Screen Composers Guild of Canada as part of Amplify Women on X-Ray FM, a celebration of International Women's Day. I'm Janelle Bechtold. Stay tuned until 7 p.m. today for the rest of this year's teach-in. And remember, radio is yours.